Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the Old Testament. It's a familiar psalm. It is a psalm of David. It is the always popular and wonderful Psalm 23. I invite you to follow along as it's on the screen. There's also in those blue pew Bibles that are in front of you. It is not in the old King James Version of the Bible, but it's in the translation that we have, the NRSV. I invite you to follow along. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The late Mike Iaconelli was an author, and he was also a nationally known youth leader. And he lived in a small rural farm community where there are a lot of cattle ranches. And every so often, somebody's cow would wander off and get lost. He asked, a rancher how a cow gets lost, and chances are he'll reply, well, the cow starts nibbling on a tuft of green grass, and when it finishes, it looks ahead to the next tuft of green grass and starts nibbling on that one. Then it nibbles on a tuft of green grass right next to a hole in the fence. It then sees another tuft of green grass on the other side of the fence, so it nibbles on that one and then goes on to the next tuft. The next thing you know, the cow has nibbled itself into being lost. Well, people are a lot like cows. I'll make the point, I promise. A little nibbling here, a little nibbling there, until we suddenly find ourselves in a place that we never thought we would be. Well, friends, Jesus had a special place in his heart for us nibblers. And he tells a parable about the way God deals with the nibblers of this world. And so I want to invite you to join me as I read this parable of Jesus that comes to us in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Jesus says, "Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. God, we pray that in these moments that we have together, that you might open our hearts and minds to receive that which would most encourage us in our walk with you, so that we may be drawn nearer to you and in Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, Jesus begins this parable with an interesting, if not absurd, question. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Does that seem reasonable to you? Now, of course, when Jesus asks whether the shepherd leaves the 99 to go search for the one lost one, we will automatically assume, well, obviously, Jesus does. But would we really expect that? Would we really do that? What if we were the shepherd in the parable? When we consider this parable, we have to be honest. Would we just up and leave the 99 to go search for the one lost stray? it might not be practical. It might not be wise. You know, in business, we expect a certain amount of loss, like debts that are not collectible or bad business deals or a downturn in the market. Nobody expects a 100% return all the time. It's just not realistic. About the best we can do is try to maximize our profits while minimizing our losses so that at the end of the day, the balance tips in our favor. Now, if you think about it from that perspective, 99 out of 100 doesn't seem so bad. As a matter of fact, it sounds amazing. If you correctly answer 99 questions out of 100 on every test you take, that's an A+ every time. If you successfully close deals on 99 out of 100 every sales calls that you make, you would take that in a heartbeat. And so if we had 100 sheep and just one of them, one, wandered away, would we really go through all that trouble? Would we risk it all, leaving the 99 to go scouring the countryside to look for that single, solitary, lost sheep? The author, Robert Farrar Capon, says the real answer to that question is, of course not. Nobody in his right mind who's in the sheep business has 100 sheep, loses one, leaves the 99 to the wolves and coyotes, and goes chasing after one. You cut your losses, forget about the lost sheep, and go with the 99. In other words, 99 out of 100 ain't bad. This is what we might call in business or in farming as an acceptable loss. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know much about sheep. I grew up in New Jersey. But one of my minister friends from Princeton Seminary, who grew up in Montana, or as they say up there, Montana, told me that sheep are some of the dumbest animals alive. Left unattended, a sheep will eat until they are bloated and simply keel over and die. On a cold night, sheep will pile on top of each other in order to try to stay warm, but then squash those poor sheep who are suffocated on the bottom of the pile. When frightened, sheep will actually march right off the edge of a cliff. If you were starting your own sports team and you needed a team nickname, you might pick the Lions or the Bears or the Tigers or the Gulp Eagles. But I doubt any of us would ever consider sheep as our team nickname. Sheep are not known for their agility or strength. They aren't particularly smart. They scare easily. So sheep don't really mean much to us. So what is something that is important to us? What would we consider an acceptable loss? Well, I think for that, we have to look at this parable in a different way. Now, several years ago, when my children were really young, I made the brave decision to take all three to the mall by myself. I had Emily in a stroller, I had Julia in one of those backpack sling carriers, and I was holding Tim by the hand. I was a world-beater dad on steroids. Things were going well until Tim broke free from me, and he went into one of those circular clothes racks, you know, the kinds they have in the department stores, that are virtually impossible to get around or through with a stroller. And when I got to the point where he wasn't there anymore. I rounded another bend, and he wasn't there either. And then I was one panicked parent. If you have ever had that happen to you as a parent, you know that your heart literally skips a beat as it pounds in your chest until it feels like it's going to explode. So what did I do? Did I just brush it off and say, well, even if one child is missing, I still have two pretty good kids left over? I mean, two out of three is pretty good, isn't it? Of course not. And as soon as I could not find Tim among those clothes racks, that rising feeling of panic segued into full-blown search mode. Now, I found him a few seconds later in a different clothes rack. And when I did, the joy of rediscovery overwhelmed every emotion that I had at that moment. So when it comes to the people we love, there's really no such thing as an acceptable loss, not even one. And friends, this is, I think, what Jesus is saying to us in this parable this morning. Jesus is telling us that there is a kind of loss that is unacceptable to God. It's the loss of you. It's the loss of me. It's the loss of any of his children. Jesus is telling us that he will simply not sit idly by and accept that loss. So the problem is really not with God. The problem is with us. Oh, friends, I've got bad news, because we've got major sheep problems. And one of the problems we have is that we don't want to be shepherded. We live in a me first, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, to whomever I want, where everybody gets to be a shepherd and nobody wants to be a sheep. What's your reaction when you're channel surfing late at night on your television watching those ridiculous infomercials where some self-help guru will come on the screen and tell you how he can channel your business instincts in order for you to flip houses, all for curriculum that will only cost $199.99, or how your life will be so much better if you sleep on a certain kind of a pillow, or if you take a certain kind of prescription medication? We don't like being shepherded. If you don't believe me, just ask the ushers who take you to your seats here in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. In Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon, he writes, the ushers are known as the herdsmen. And their motto is, blessed are those who show up early, wait to be seated, and sit where they are told. The problem is, we don't want to be told where to sit, when to sit, or certainly how to live. But the Christian life is all about following. When Jesus walked by people, they left behind their fishing nets, their occupations, their agendas, their friends, and even their families, and they followed him. And basically what they were saying is, I'm just a sheep, and I am willing to enter into a totally dependent relationship on Jesus as my good shepherd. David, from the Old Testament, understood this so well, and that's why he gave us these beautiful words in Psalm 23. Now, why did David write this amazing poetry? Well, he actually wrote it at one of the lowest points in his life. His son Absalom had just rebelled against him. David was dethroned and cast out into the Judean wilderness. And while he's in the wilderness, hungry, tired, his army in complete disarray, his mind kind of shifts back to when he was a young shepherd boy in that same wilderness. And this great leader of Israel says, you know what, God, I am tired of being the guy who's supposed to have all the answers. I'm ready to be a follower. I want to be just a sheep, and I want you to be my shepherd. And so he pens those beautiful words that kick off the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So friends, if anyone or anything else is running your life, then the Lord is not your shepherd. If you are someone who has an obsessive need to be in the spotlight and receive pats on the back and attaboys, then the Lord is not your shepherd. If some person or politician or some other thing is your shepherd, then your priorities and your allegiances are misplaced, and you're probably going to end up disappointed. But if the Lord is my shepherd, then I will have my needs met. Someone once said what David means in Psalm 23 is that God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. I think another problem that we have as sheep is that we have this knack for just getting lost. The prophet Isaiah said it best, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. Some of us have been scared stiff. Some of us have been paralyzed with fear, but some of us have also reacted to that fear by running like crazy. It was the late psychologist Rollo May who said, humans are the strangest of all of God's creatures because they run fastest when they have lost their way. That's how we get into trouble, by running when we are lost. Reminds me of the story of the airline pilot who had trouble finding things around his house. And so one day he asked his wife where the salt shaker was. And his wife was rather annoyed. And so she asked, how is it that you can find Detroit at night in a blizzard, but you can't find the salt shaker in your own kitchen? Without missing a beat, the man said, well, darling, they don't move Detroit. That's true. They don't move Detroit, but we move, don't we? We tend to stray and go our own way. And before we know it, we can find ourselves pretty far off course from where we need to be, lost and confused. The reason Jesus spent so much time describing us as lost sheep was not to judge us, but was to help us find salvation. And like a shepherd who goes searching for that one lost sheep, God will go to any length to find us, forgive us, and through the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, reclaim us as his own. Again, the author, Robert Farrar Capon, says, the parable of the lost sheep is not about lost sheep. The parable is about the passion of the shepherd to find the sheep. It is about God's passion for you. I think that's what makes this parable of Jesus such good news. 99 out of 100 may be good in a lot of things, but it's not good enough for God. Let's be honest, nobody risks all that they have on the off chance that they might recover by just a sliver or tiny percentage of something that has gone missing. Nobody does that. Nobody except Jesus Christ. That's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are muttering under their breath about the kind of people that Jesus hobnobs with and welcomes. They don't get it. They don't understand the heart of God, how far God was willing to go to redeem us and reclaim what is his. In his book, Searching for God Knows What, Donald Miller tells a story about a friend whose life was being destroyed by alcoholism. He writes, last year I pulled a friend out of his closet. His marriage was falling apart because of an inability to stop drinking. This man is a kind and brilliant human being, touched with many gifts from God, but addicted to alcohol and being taken down in the fight. He was suicidal, and the kids had been sent away. We sat together on his back deck and talked for hours deep into the night. I didn't think he was going to make it. I worried about him as I boarded my flight back to Portland, and he checked himself into rehab. 2 months later, he picked me up from the same airport, having gone several weeks without a drink. As he told me the story, the beginnings of his painful recovery process, he said a single incident was giving him the strength to continue. His father had flown in to attend a recovery meeting with him, and in the meeting, his friend had to confess all his issues and weaknesses. When he finished, his father stood up to address the group of addicts. He looked at his son and said, I have never loved my son as much as I do at this moment. I love him. I want you all to know that I love him. My friend said that in that moment, for the first time in his life, he was able to believe God loved him too. He believed that God, his wife, and his father loved him. He could fight this addiction, and he believed he might make it. Isn't it amazing what can happen when we allow the Lord, our shepherd, to find us and then to correct our wayward behavior? Friends, all of us here, all of us watching, have at some point in our lives wandered off the path and gotten lost. We have acted more like the one than the 99. We have strayed from God's truth. We have ignored God's voice. We have sinned and stubbornly refused God's guidance and help. And if it weren't for the determination of the shepherd to find us, we would most likely still be lost. This is what the parable in Matthew 18 is telling us this morning. It's about how far the shepherd was willing to go for you and me. It's about a shepherd who will search high and low to find us. It's about a shepherd who will forgive us. It's about a shepherd who will also welcome us home. The shepherd, who is Jesus Christ our Savior, determined that 99 out of 100 is simply not good enough. He will never abandon us. Why? Because he loves us and we belong to him. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Oh Lord God, our shepherd, how good it feels to belong to you and be part of the flock today, to be here in worship, to draw close to you, to feed on your word, and to connect with one another in Christian fellowship. God, it is great to be here because you restore our soul and you give our lives direction. You protect us along life's journey. And then in times of sorrow and sadness and difficulty, you're there with us and for us. But God, some of us or some family members or friends that we know, loved ones, have wandered off the path. They're lost, afraid, confused. As our shepherd, how we thank you for taking the time to search for us, to find us, to bring us back into your fold, and to welcome us home again. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.